Myron, your turn.
Hey, could each of you tell you where your district is located?
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it. And I will be glad to share with you. And I want to thank all of the Kiwanis for allowing us to be here. It's something that I look forward to when we get to do this update with you at the end of the session. As Lee mentioned, just to share with you my district, kind of visualize Christian County, take it from the Todd County line, and you'll go from about a little bit north of Fairview and come over towards Hopkinsville and follow down 41A. I represent a section of Hopkinsville and then the remainder of the outlying county area, and also takes in Fort Campbell as well. I am proud to be able to have the opportunity to represent Christian County. It's something I've been blessed to be able to do since 2007. And I guess you would say that I am the senior member of this group.
We would also say
yes.
And I one of the things during this last session, and I've had this conversation with Whitney many times, I'm going to miss Whitney because of the working relationship, the friendship that has grown between he and I. Craig, I look forward to being able to build that type of relationship with you. Craig was there in my office and spent a half a day with me back a few weeks ago. And it was a chance for me to kind of go over and share some of the ins and outs and things to prepare for. But I want to come back to Whitney. Whenever you're representing a county the size of Christian County, there's, even though we're members of the same political party, we don't agree on everything. But we don't get upset with each other on the things we disagree. And Whitney and I have communicated so many times, phone calls, texts, meetings there, where we were working projects on the highway plan, where we were working and staying dedicated on things that would go through from the budget, coming from the House into the Senate. I would make Whitney aware of certain things that may not have been there. He was doing the same as Jason was working on this. And one other thing, and to share this with each and every one of you, to know how good of elected officials you have here from Christian County and Todd County representing you there in Frankfort. Walker and I have worked very closely together. We have ever since he's been in office. And it's a benefit to this entire county that we have this relationship. This gentleman right here, who I'm proud to call a very good friend, Jason Petrie, even though he's from Todd County, he let that slide. Well, he represents Christian, but he's from Todd, but we like people from Todd just as much as we do from Christian. But we were having this conversation whenever I came in. I was telling Philip, the things this gentleman has to have in his mind, putting the budget together, keeping all of these balls in the air spinning, and he's able to do it. And it has been a pleasure for me to be able to work with him. Things that we've seen across the entire Commonwealth, because even though we represent this area right here, every decision that we make in the end impacts the entire Commonwealth. And as I said, I am blessed to have the greatest members sitting here with me. I could not do what I do in Frankfort if it was not for each of them And I'm looking forward to this gentleman. If I'm there in January, I'm going to make sure that I help him and do everything I can to be of assistance to him, because the Senate is a hard place to be at. We're a whole lot more friendly if Whitney over in the House of the Senate.
You should hear what we say about you guys.
I've heard the other side.
But that, the experience that I have gained from serving there, it will be, I always go back when I was first in office. Jim Bruce had me over at the House before I got sworn in Frankfort, and had a conversation and shared little tidbits of advice to me. And then while I was in office, I had the fortune of serving with Eddie Ballard from Hopkins County. That gentleman was fantastic, and many times he would come and have a conversation with me on the floor. He would say, I have to vote for this, but you come nowhere near it. There are problems with this. I have to do it because of him being in the majority at the time. And he was able to guide me, and I said my whole goal of being one of the more senior members there in Frankfort is to be able to share that same advice with any new member coming in. Once again, thank you for letting me speak. And Lee, I'll let you move to the next one.
He's pointing at me. I'm Walker Thomas. I am a Rotarian. Sometimes he's my guest. So today I get to be his guest. So we tag back and forth. Greg, which club are you in? I'm going to make sure I get someone to represent the Wanians that I can still come and visit with y'all. I represent District 8, which is the eastern side of all of Trigg County. So if you kind of split Trigg down, I got the side coming back towards Christian County. And then I have the whole west side of Christian County. But then I got all of Caldwell County. So Whitney and I both will share, and soon Craig and I will both share all of Caldwell County. I sit on four committees. I am chairman of Veterans, Military Affairs, and Public Protection, which have been for 5 or 6 years now. I've been serving 8 years. This is my 8th year, and I also serve on transportation, agriculture, and local government. So I've picked four really good topics that really deal with this area. I think everyone's important. Interested in roads, agriculture, and of course our veterans, and then local government is sometimes can actually be a catch-all and everything. So I've enjoyed serving these last 8 years. My wife and I, when we started, we had 2 grandkids. We're now up to 6, and they're scattered in multiple states, and so it's getting a little tougher to go and see them all and everything, but I'm going to keep this up for a while longer. This last session's been great, and it's true. I'm going to be brief on time so we can defer to our chairman of A&R there who puts all these budgets together. I want to let you know just how important it is for y'all to communicate to us. Someone local here, Peg Hayes, had an issue. She put 2 electric charging stations that she was going to just let people charge free when you come to Casey Jones Distillery. Well, they were putting her on tax rolls where she'd have to report and have to pay taxes on these things and stuff like that. With Jason's help, I mean, he was able to finagle it, not only for her, we can't do bills just for one person, but he was able to do it for everyone in the state and make it where low 20 watts and under chargers would not have to go through all this deep paperwork and everything. And that's just something that we are very responsive to y'all's concerns and needs, and those are small things that we can a lot of times get accomplished. On a larger scale, and maybe he'll touch base on it, is we all are familiar with the SEND elements right now. Well, we have been working on the transportation budget. We got almost $70 million coming to Christian County. Part of it is to do a lot of road work down in the Pembroke area to deal with that large expansion down there. But the other thing, and Jason, you might be able to expand on it. I don't know. I guess it's public knowledge now, but he was able to set up a fund where I think there's $30 million in it for transmission lines. We need more power down there. And so it's going to help between multiple factors, with the SIN pitching in some, the state pitching in some, but we're going to have a direct line from TVA into that park, which is huge, y'all. I mean, that is big. And this is something, it happened within 10 to 15 days of session left. It was not something that we knew back in January. This is something that happened pretty quick. So these are some of the things that you do have some good state reps and centers up here. But we are very knowledgeable of what's going on. But it's because y'all's input. You know, you let us know these things. And a lot of times we can put things together pretty quick. We are out until January 7th of next year. This is getting ready to start our interim session. So VMAP and judiciary and A&R will meet multiple times, six times really, from June all the way through November. And we will study the issues that might need to get addressed next year. We passed, I think, 215 bills, give or take. So there was a lot passed, but it seems like around 200 is what we're doing almost every year now. So we appreciate y'all having us. I'm going to defer time. Are you going towards Jason?
Jason. Yes, all right.
I will defer my rest of the time to this brilliant man.
I'm Jason Petrie, House District 16, which is all of Logan and all of Todd, and then basically the northeast quarter, thank you very much, northeast quarter plus of Christian County that was added on the last redistricting. Currently serve as Chair of House Appropriations and Revenue, which deals with the budget and deals with revenue and how we interact with those things across the Commonwealth. I will say this, not blowing smoke at all, but these guys are great. These two have been around longer than me. Walker and I came in together. Walker's been good about informing and making sure I understand who's what and what's going on and what the issues are. And these two, of course, because they've been around longer, do make sure you communicate through them, because I hope that when and if Craig is there and starts in on the Senate side, that we could have even 40, 50, 60% of the communication that these guys do to include me and make sure that issues are dealt with. It's not just one person that can deal with everything all the time, but between the four of us, if we stay in communication and y'all are letting us know about things, then we're able to look at issues, try to address them appropriately. And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't do it the first session. It might take one, two, or three tries to get it right or get it done. But all we're trying to do is make things better in some way, somehow. We won't all agree, but hopefully we'll find a few things we can agree on and move things forward and make them a little bit better. Thank y'all very much. And I think this is over to the now official short timer, who just by chance happens to be now my favorite constituent.
When you to say next year when I'm not in there. Well, it's been a pleasure, guys. And you all, it's been a pleasure. You have trusted me to do this job for 12 years. And you certainly didn't have to. And I had to run against a fellow Kiwanian to get the job. I'll have you all know, I spoke with Joey, a month and a half or so ago. I'd run into somebody here in town, and they were asking about it. It was Diane Pyle. She was asking about Joey because she used to do, as you all know, project graduation every year, and he would sponsor things, and she was asking how he was doing it. I hadn't heard. So I sent him a text, and he called me a couple weeks later, and we spoke for a half hour. And it was a great chat. And on the day, whenever you leave office, there's a day when you're recognized on your chamber floor, and everybody says nice things about you. I sat down from that spectacle and had a bunch of text messages, and Joey's was one of them. And he was telling me congratulations. So even opposing parties and differing beliefs on things, we still are civil and polite with one another. It's a sign of how politics used to be, and for these men, how politics still is. And it makes your representation in Frankfort, not including me, but just with these three guys here and with Craig to be, it makes that really important. And it's incredibly important for the future of Kentucky, not just for our region, but for how we do what we do up there. Walker's right. We rely on your feedback and your input, your response to what we're doing or what you think we ought to be doing, what
we need to be focusing on in the budget, whether it's education funding, whether it's cost of living adjustments, whether it's road projects, whatever it is. Some of the biggest and most successful things I've had a chance to be a part of as a legislator are things I didn't come up with. I didn't campaign on. They weren't on my website about issues that I thought about and wanted to run for, but there are things that constituents reached out and said, hey, can you do something about this? This year was one of the coolest. So when you have this opportunity, this rare opportunity, one of the 138 people who represent the 4.5 million Kentuckians up there, vote on the legislation that's coming before the legislature. It's a rare opportunity. And you get to do really neat things that help a lot of people along the way. And this year I got to work with Michael Kidd Gilchrist. We had a friend in common who said, hey, would you mind taking a call from Michael Kidd? I'm like, yeah, sure. Happy to talk with MKG anytime. And it was a bill on stuttering. And I learned after talking with Michael and his team about the limitations on stuttering and the services that you can get today, if you can get coverage at all, that there are weird and arbitrary limits to the coverage for stuttering. And to make a long story short, I didn't run on stuttering. I never even thought about it until I had a meeting with a constituent or with someone who used to be a constituent and say, this is something we need to do. And we sat down and we worked on a bill. We worked on the draft. Kicked the different versions back between one another, his team and my folks with the Legislative Research Commission and speech therapists with the University of Kentucky and elsewhere. How can we make this better? And that bill, I got two bills passed this year. That was one of them. And the one that I care the most about, Senate Bill 111, if you're curious. And it's the first in the country that Michael is going to be working on. He's already working with legislators in New Jersey to do it there. That's his home state after his adopted home state. So there are things like that that have come up, and I think that, obviously, Michael Kidd Gilchrist is a pretty high-profile name, but one of the other bills that I've worked on in the last 12 years had to do with catalytic converter theft and how to better track that down for law enforcement. It came from a constituent call. You'll find out, Craig, these guys know that you go into session, you've got priorities, you start working on bill requests and bill drafts now for the 2025 year. And you're thinking about all these things that you want to get passed and that you want to work on. And you end up, if you're anything like me, my plate ended up being pretty full coming into that particular session year. And then 2 weeks into session, I get a phone call from a constituent Elkton who actually, at that time, Jason was no longer a constituent, but you don't tell them that. You take the call. Yes, sir. What can I do for you? And he said, Whitney, we had a catalytic converter cut out from the truck from the shop parking lot. I said, well, let me see what I can do. I know we've got some statutes related to this and theft. Let me see what I can do. And I ended up working on a bill, and it had a bunch of Democratic support and Republican support, and it sailed through. I thought for sure junkyards would be opposed to it, or law enforcement would be opposed to it, or they wouldn't be able to agree. No problems. I wasn't planning on filing that bill until a constituent called. It's a rewarding job. I'm glad I've had a chance to do it for 12 years, and Amanda and I are both glad that I'm done. I'm not sad yet. I'm a pretty sentimental guy. I wasn't particularly torn up on Monday night when we finished around 9 o'clock Eastern time because I knew I was going to get to come home. And with triplets on the way, I'm going to have plenty to keep me busy without worrying about you guys next year. So with that, I'm happy to take your questions if that's where we are, Lee.
Let's let Craig just give a little bit of...
tell us what you're
about how you ran this race so successfully. And
yeah. Here are the reins.
Yeah.
And then we have questions.
So on January 5th, well, I'll tell you a quick story. Last year, February, it was a Wednesday, 9 o'clock. I'm running around the office just right over here. Dad's in his overalls or farm clothes or something. He waves me in his office and he says, I'm done. And I thought, I don't know what you're done with, but I got things to do. He says, no, I'm done with this. And as soon as Nate gets out of his meeting with his client, I'll tell him. And Dad's probably come to the office twice since then. I think once just for donuts, another one's for... and for 24 hours, a little bit less than 24 hours, my world was spinning. What am I going to do? Can I really help take over the reins of this law office? You know, this is something I've aspired to, and man, it just kind of came out of nowhere. Fast forward to less than 24 hours later, I get a phone call from Whitney. And just when I thought my world was in the perfect tailspin, he shared some things with me, and my wife and I kind of looked at each other. I think it was a lot like what Coach Pope said, is, I don't really have to think about it too much. The answer is yes, I'm in. But we did pray about it that night and thought long and hard. I think I texted Whitney back the next morning, but I had to keep my mouth shut. But I owe so much gratitude to Whitney for giving me the opportunity to get in early. Because fast forward through all of last year, from May 30th to January 5th, I was as stressed as can be. I was making phone calls. I was going to every event I could possibly go to. And then come January 5th, Whitney again calls me and says, "You're unopposed." So here I am. And then I think January 8th, I was in Frankfurt. And I tried to spend at least 1 to 2 days a week in Frankfurt from there on. And then as they really started winding down the session, I said, I'm out of here. They're stressed. I don't need it. I'll have plenty of it in years to come.
Sure enough, Will.
You will. Yeah,
so I need to get home. Folks, I'll tell you this straightforward right now. I have no idea what they do other than it's where I'm grateful that we have them. As Myron said, I got to spend some time with them. I think this team that we have, the collaboration between Walker and Myron and Jason, I'm looking forward to being a part of that team and to really represent Western Kentucky. My district will be Caldwell, Christian, and Muhlenberg, the counties in their entirety. And I spent a lot of time in Caldwell and Muhlenberg. I was just there on Monday night. So let me just, instead of making promises and telling you all these things, there's so much I have to learn first. So let me just give you my gratitude. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the conversations we've all had and the handshakes and the hugs. And I ask for your continued prayers and your support in the future as well. Thank you.
Now we have time for questions. Answers.
I don't have a question, but I just have to be mean. I'm not going to go the sales tax route, but...
it'll go up eventually, just
haven't
yet.
That's right. So I'm grateful. I'm a CPA, work with Leonard. You got, there was a new tax bill last year called the PTE tax, which allowed the businesses to pay that tax. Long story short, people, taxpayers don't even understand it, but it saved them some money, right? The only concern I had with that was it was retroactive. You know what I mean? And so, for us, I'm glad it was done, but in 2020, during COVID, IRS did some taxes that was retroactive. So that's just concerning to me. Going forward, all right, your tax plan, hey, we're trying to get our business done, get them in order. And then this law comes in, and like I think last year was around February, March, tax return for March 15th, we're learning about this, so we have to put everything on extension, stuff like that. So I'm just like, that's just me saying, hey, I get what you have to do, but it's things for us, all right, Leonard. We have to do something retroactively. Mm-hmm. And it does affect them cash flow-wise. It affects some of these tax returns, you know, cash flow-wise, paying that tax retroactively.
Yeah.
Because it helps them out, but that's just something we've seen the past few years. Not just you. We see it more on the federal level.
I thought you both emailed me and asked for extra work.
That's right.
But not that time.
There was
a couple of things. One, that was intended to be retroactive permissive because it allowed something to be done if you wanted to opt into it. So it's not a requirement that you go back and do it. So, but if you could take advantage of it, then go back and you can rework your taxes. Don't like doing retroactive tax changes except for, in this particular instance, this particular move is in response to what's happened at the federal level, which is going to expire under a short amount of time. So if we were going to let people take as much advantage of it as they could, we decided to go ahead and retroact it at least 1 year back prior so they could get the best benefit that they could.
But see, the biggest problem with it was that you didn't give the OR any time to even come up with the forms. So it was August before we could do anything on 2022.
DOR doesn't talk with us better than they would talk to you.
I want to go to Jason. He doesn't need me to go to bat for him. I'm going to do it anyway. That question right there, I can tell you, I remember every criminal justice bill I've worked on. I remember all kinds of policies. Couldn't have told you what PTE was to save my life. He knew what it was, the rationale for why, could recall for you why it was done permissive language and what the rationale for that was. You guys, you are incredibly well served by this budget chairman right here. Also, he is. And also keep in mind, as he just now pointed out, we have to contend with an executive branch who doesn't care. care. And that's not because it's the Bashir administration. The Bevin administration was just as big a pain in the neck as the Bashir administration, in different ways, in different agencies, and at different times.
And Whitney, there's another issue going on within those cabinets. They're still working from home.
Some
they're not
home.
Working. Oh, and this is something that is, has to end. I know
for conversation. Some positions.
Well, I know a conversation I had with the new president of KCTCS, Ryan Quarles. Whenever Ryan was appointed president of the community colleges, of course, the audit had already been performed, and Jason, I'm right, it was about $100 million that was out of sorts. And Ryan came in to tackle that issue, but then when he got there, he found out within the main office the employees were working from home. And he said he'd already had sent the information to them to let them know that they would be back in the office at the end of March, and if they didn't like it, they could go somewhere else. Everyone else is working there within the office in these cabinets, especially when citizens are needing to get information. They need to be able to contact.
Those positions are important for having a face-to-face contact or being freely available. But I just want to say that there are some positions that remote work perfectly fine for. And I'll say I was in court in Louisville an hour before lunch started because remote work exists. So I don't want it to go away completely. There are opportunities for it to be used and efficiencies gained from it. But you're right that there are some issues within different cabinets. But anyway, I just...
One other.
I like it.
Jason, one other,
it's true.
One other one, kind of along that line, and I should know this, but what about the LLC tax?
LLET? It has held steady. We've not done anything with it.
We didn't do anything with it.
As we have,
changed it 2 years ago.
We tackled a little bit of corporate tax rate reform.
Or maybe we've begun it.
Back in 18. And at the same time, we started a rate reduction for individual income tax rates. Right. And then we've got a formula that went into effect in 22, but it was only for individual income tax rates. As that has been implemented, we have tried to hold steady on most other major reforms, given it 1, 2, 3 years, so we can make sure everything continues working, which it's been working well, making sure it's working well. LLET. Was something that was pushed fairly hard by the CPA Association, by the Chamber and others. And I told them, look, not this session. This is not going to be a revenue session reform. This is going to be, we're going to wait at least one more year to make sure everything continues to smooth.
For a number of years, I was advocating that we just drop the income tax to zero. And I wanted to get there fast.
No.
And I still want us to get to zero. I still want us to get to zero.
Mm-hmm. No.
And he would always say no.
No.
He would always resist that. He's right and I'm wrong. What we're doing is a much slower, but a much more intentional, very careful and fiscally prudent way of doing this. And it gets us down. You're now at a 4% tax rate today instead of 6, which is not zero, but it's not 6. And you just heard him talk about how we're slowly making our way down without taking or messing with the revenue formula. We're just finding homeostasis at each step as we go down, and that's the responsible way to do it. It's slow, but it's right.
And making the lower income people pay more of it is what you're doing.
When will you find that?
Yeah, sales tax makes the lower income people pay more of the state taxes than what the income tax does.
What you end up doing is that's a well-worn argument. Not going to say if you want to take it down to a specific condition, then you can go yes. But when you take into broad conditions of who actually has to pay taxes in, and who gets assistance above and below certain dollar figures, this is something that comes up a lot. Of like, well, you're doing tax reform, but it's not for the normal people. Well, yes, it is. And at the same time, we're continuing to deal with Medicaid and deal with public education and public universities and everything that goes into assisting people. That is the bulk of our budget that continues to go out while we do tax reform. The stuff that I just mentioned are normally things that upper income or even middle or even above 20 and 30 and 40,000 take much advantage of or engage in much during their life. So all those things continue to go out. And on the sales tax side, the essentials of life are still not under sales tax.
Right. They will be if you keep going down. They'll have to be.
With the exception.
If you keep going down, they'll have to be.
It won't happen.
With the exception of clothing, which has always been taxed, but other than that, most essentials are dealt with. But this came out, I think, oh gosh, 2021 when I started talking about it, and on reform side, you got to raise sales tax. No, you don't. If you do it the right way, and we're continuing to do it, and there's still no plan to raise the sales tax rate.
And Jason, we have lowered the income tax, have not had to put it to groceries or to pharmacy.
No, you have on other things.
We have a lot of other things. But the revenue has continued to grow. So the essentials, unlike Tennessee, which did place them on groceries and other things.
Yeah. We'll be there. If we go to a zero rate, that's where we're going to go to.
That's what I've heard the challenge of. We haven't done it yet.
Fair enough. You had a question. Your new business coming. What you got?
When will you find legislatures, and hopefully let us find legislature to be, finally decide to give the retired Kentucky employees a cost of living adjustment?
So I don't know when that's going to happen. The harsh truth is that there just isn't enough support to do it yet. I mean, I want to. A lot of other members, I can't speak for the House, but a lot of other Senate members bring it up every single year. Even in non-budget years, it comes up. Let me word that better. I think everybody wants to do it. It's not at the top of everyone's priority list. There are other things that they'd rather do. And if you go through and look at not just House Bill 6, which is the executive branch budget, which is the budget that everybody thinks about, and then House Bill 1, which expends a few billion one-time dollars toward a lot of different things, you will find a slew of things that I think are worthless in comparison to a COLA for retirees that I think just are not worth the investment, that don't have a return on the investment like a COLA would. But it's action by committee, and there's not enough oomph behind that cause yet. And
just
I don't know.
Just don't raise the sales tax, and it'll kill us.
Well, and one thing, when you ask about the increase for the retirees, which I think we would all love to be able to do that, remember we're continuing with the fix that we've been on since 2017 on the deficit where the retirement plans were not funded. And this year, how much new money, additional money did we put into?
I have to go back and check your final numbers, but yeah,
KRS, just like we've been doing TRS. So there was additional money because we saw the improvement in TRS by putting that extra money to save that pension, to make sure that our retirees never have to worry about the fact that their checks stop coming.
So KERS non-HAZ are probably at $450 to $500 million extra over the top, over the biennium, over what's required to go into the systems to get it paid off over a 26, 27-year period or get it fully funded. KRS still hangs at about 22% funded. 80% is generally insolvent from the federal perspective. So we're going to continue to push money in on them. TRS is around 60 a few percentage marks. State police is much better. They're much smaller. So we were able to put some money in, and now they're much better funded. But understand that, yep, COLA. And there's a question that arises really, really quickly, and it's interesting, the emails that I get from various parts of the Commonwealth. A COLA, state employees, well, we have also county employees, local employees also in the C system that not as many people talk about, but they find themselves in similar situations. But if you just look at the K side of things, you're looking at a history of about 1990s into the early 2000s where there were a lot of COLA adjustments given that were not funded. So there was a check written, but there was nothing in the bank. And those things have gone up, and everybody thought, well, we were supposed to get those. Well, no, you shouldn't have gotten those in the first place because they weren't funded. It wasn't done physically in a responsible manner. So you end up with hitting a critical mass around 2010, 2011 with a bill that passes 12 or 13 that says, under harsh conditions, unless we're at 100% funding or blah, 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 there are no more COLAs to be given. Probably that system, KRS, was probably sitting at 18, 19% funded somewhere in that ballpark in reality. We'll continue to push money as we push money in and as that funding level comes up. I think it becomes more of a return on investment to look at, okay, is there a COLA adjustment that should be possible? But right now, you'd be looking at pushing money into a COLA as opposed to pushing into the actual unfunded liabilities, which I don't know that makes great sense. The other thing, it's interesting how this pops up. Whitney said it, House Bill 6, which is a recurring budget. It's recurring money going out. House Bill 1 was a one-time investment bill. One-time money, it's one and done, and that's it. COLA is hard to deal with because they've got so many different people talking about things. I warn people, if you're going to talk about COLAs, you may have to disregard some of what you're hearing because sometimes people say a one-time COLA. Well, that's not what I get in my emails. Okay, so I'll get 3 years ago or 2 years ago, look, we just did a one-time COLA and state the case for it. Okay, and then it come around the second year and the third year. Not always the same people. And they'd come back, well, we just want a one-time COLA this year, but rather than a one-time 1%, it needs to be 3% because we've been asking for 3 years. So that tells me the thought pattern is not a one-time and we're done. This is once you get into it, you're going to be pushing money into it right along with trying to deal with the unfunded liabilities at the same time. The second part of the problem with that is how you deal with the seaside, and that's the hardest one. So from the state, you go, well, y'all just need to worry about the K's, the state employees, and don't worry about anybody else. Well, we've got people that go back and forth between the C's and the K's, and it's kind of harsh to go, don't worry about them. We're trying our best to work with the SERS, the board that oversees the seaside plans. I thought they had a prime opportunity this last interim to make a change or two in the way rather than letting their rates roll down for local employers, counties and cities. They could have maintained their rate, used part of that money to fund a C COLA. And if had they done that, then I think the state COLA would have been right behind that. That they let those rates go down rather than trying to find a way to pay for it. They're putting a pinch on us and going, well, I guess you need to pay for it. Well, they're your employees. We can work together, but don't make us cut the checks out and you say who I for it when you very well could have done it yourself. And you get into all kinds of problems of, okay, what if somebody retired last year? Do they get the same COLA? What if somebody retired last year and they're making $80,000, $60,000, $50,000? What if you've got somebody that's been retired for 10, 12, 15 years and has never gotten a COLA and now they're 72 years old? Is it fair for everybody to get the same thing? That's something we continually look at. It's not an issue that's foreign. It's trying to find the right way to get to it and the right timing and trying to look at the C's at the same time. It's a difficult issue.
Speaking of the COLA, sorry to interrupt, guys. Leonard could probably speak to this. I don't know if anybody's called you guys. We had a lot of taxpayers that thought they got a COLA this year because pensions quit withholding federal tax.
Huh.
And so
hadn't heard that.
Individuals thought like any of you could, but it was tough on 85-year-old ladies.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That couldn't figure it out, owed a lot of tax. So it's just difficult them calling the system, hey, to get that out.
Sure.
If you look into that, more likely, so what they did this year they're not quite that one to anything. So last year they quit withholding their federal income tax. This year, I looked at a couple of them, they just stopped. So they withheld federal taxes for a month or two. So Leonard could probably talk
to them. I don't know if that's legal for them to not.
Somebody hadn't called just yet. Sorry, keep
they just reduced it. It wasn't that they didn't withhold, they just reduced it.
The amount that they
without even coming.
When we look into it this year,
I thought they were getting an increase in their
They just have less taxes.
But instead,
they
pay it in taxes.
I haven't heard that one yet.
We'll look into it. You did not get a cost of living.
I think Nick is in charge of closing the meeting.
Sure, appreciate you.
I got one question that Bert asked, and I'll get the answer later on. Have you all looked to see how monies are invested in these pension plans?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Because okay.
I asked that years ago to somebody, and they said they have no clue.
Yeah.
I'm going,
I can't recite the numbers off the top of my head, but yeah, we spend a lot. Even people, I'm not on A&R, but even us members that aren't talking about budget stuff as much as Jason is, even we're aware of what dollars we're sending into the pension funds. We end up talking about it every budget cycle. It's a big discussion.
And on the issue itself, it was so large, I forgot how many years ago it was. I wasn't there. You may have been, I don't think it was before you,
where there was a committee that meets monthly, as opposed to just during session, it meets monthly, statutory committee, Public Pension Oversight Board, and I'm on that by virtue of being on the AMR. It's a Public Pension Oversight Board. You've got people from the executive branch, you've got people from outside, accountants and others, as well as legislators, and over time, you accumulate information about, okay, how do we need to be? And you'll see questions come up about investing, the returns, how can we do things differently, what kind of audits we need to do, and it has helped. It has helped tremendously, but it takes concerted effort sometimes
to get that large. You can Google PPOB in Kentucky, and you'll find it.
I just want to thank everybody for coming today. We've got 100% attendance. And even to a different meeting room, and I turn it over to... Let's give a hand to the legislature.